Hello and welcome to the Fangirls Podcast, a place for fun, fandoms, friendship, and most importantly, fangirling. I'm Julie, and buckle up, Bridgerton fans, because today we're talking all about the Ton, specifically season three, part one. And when I say we, I mean me and our lovely correspondent, Miss Melinda. Welcome back, friend.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm good, and I am absolutely smitten with season three, part one of Bridgerton. And I feel like we got a lot of bang for our buck. I was expecting a slow burn and the majority of the good stuff to be in the second part. And I think Netflix or Shonda realized, no, we did that in season two. We're showing up strong for season three. And while I'll put it out there, full disclaimer, I am most definitely a Benedict girly. And I was slightly irked that his season wasn't season three, tiniest violin here. But I absolutely loved the soundtrack. Soundtrack was everything. And every season, every Bridgerton soundtrack so far has been amazing, has been perfection. I feel like a refined lady anytime I put on orchestra type playlists of millennial classics, but it did not disappoint. And it was chef's kiss for sure. Each episode was give or take an hour long, and they flew by. Because the pacing was so good. And because the pacing was so good, they did such a good job highlighting all of the supporting characters in the cast. I don't think they left anybody out. Everybody's storyline felt equal, right? Or was it just me?
No, like you said, the four episodes went by really fast, and I didn't think we would get them together until the end. The music, top-notch. I go to their playlists for my work days because it helps me focus. And hearing Taylor Swift and Pitbull and even BTS
Right. Nick Jonas.
and Nick Jonas, yes, it was great.
I love that Colin Bridgerton is now synonymous with Pitbull, as he is now known as Mr. Worldwide because he's a worldwide traveler. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. Good theming. You guys nailed it. What are your thoughts on the supporting characters?
So Francesca and John Sterling were adorable. I've heard talk on social media that it's a sad story, but a good one. And I was just pleasantly surprised at the chemistry between the two actors. Lord Dudley was very charming, that's for sure.
He's a catch. If I was Penn, I'd be very happy with the selection of men this season. Well, I'm ready for some tea. Are you ready for some tea?
I am 100% ready. Let's do this.
All right. This is the part of the show where we spill the tea. This means spoilers. So if you have not watched Bridgerton season three, part one, we are going to spoil it for you. All right. You being the queen of Easter eggs, what Easter eggs did you spot in season three, part one?
I spotted two, and the first one has been confirmed by the show's hair and makeup designer, Erica Oakvist. So the makeover that Penn gives herself,
Yes.
the design was based around 1950s movie stars like Rita Hayworth and Marilyn Monroe.
Oh.
Even the costume designer, John Glasser, had said that Penn's style, it's a mix of periods.
Okay.
So they went a little bit into 1820 fashions to give it that 1950 silhouette.
I love it.
Right? And so speaking of silhouettes, that leads into my second Easter egg, where Penn starts to wear different colors as Colin starts to fall for her, right?
So good.
So that gorgeous dark emerald dress is obviously a combination of the blue and yellow for each of the houses. So like the Bridgertons are blue and the Featheringtons are yellow. And
Yes.
she continues to wear blue and green hues throughout the following episodes, which points her towards becoming a Bridgerton.
That is so sneaky and good. Oh my goodness. I love that. Okay, I've got a few. Did you know? Because it wasn't A, I didn't read the book, so this is on me. But did you know Penelope was synonymous with the butterfly?
I didn't know at first, but then I read up on it and I did. And you can
Okay.
like see the butterfly stuff everywhere.
Okay, so there's little Easter eggs of butterflies everywhere because apparently in the book, she compares herself to a butterfly as a butterfly floats around the ton and gets all the gossip for Lady Whistledown.
Oh,
So you'll
okay.
see it in her costuming, you'll see it on the wall, just here and there, little butterflies all over the place. With the balloon scene, did you see any balloon Easter eggs? Because I caught a couple.
No, do tell.
Okay. So it was very abstract, but it was in the costuming, mainly with Cressida and like her sleeves because they were all puffed out. A lot of the fashion in general this season was very dramatic with Cressida and or Queen Charlotte, but her costuming, like in the shoulders, everywhere, it was balloon themed. And during that period, people were very obsessed with the hot air balloon because that was the newest invention. So people would go sightseeing to these balloon events. So Cressida, her costuming throughout the season was an homage to the balloons. And then I guess Penelope had some balloon, we'll call them baubles, abstractly balloon themed accessories in her hair for that scene.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna have to go back and watch that.
With Eloise, because again, didn't read the book. I only read Benedict's story because I'm a Benedict girly. Sorry, not sorry. Eloise has a lot of floral prints this season as an homage to her love interest's favorite flower. So, Sir Philip, on a handful of her gowns, she has like pressed flower designs of his favorite flower that he gives her.
Oh.
It's all in the costuming. So, if you know, you know. And we didn't know until I didn't know until I went digging on TikTok. But if you want to go back and look it up, the fashion was its own character in itself. I thought that was pretty cool. Like I mentioned earlier, the supporting characters in this season, or season three, part one, had a lot of equal screen time. And my question for you is, what supporting character storyline are you loving so far?
Oh, right now I'm totally loving John Sterling and Francesca's storyline. So they both have their socially awkward moments. They both communicate through actions. You know, she abruptly approaches him on the street and he gets an idea and just leaves her. And
Right.
then at the ball, he approaches her and gives her the musical composition that he wrote for her. And then she immediately left the ball and left Lord Samadani alone with John with the lemonade, and the queen's up there watching everything and it said she did not drink the lemonade. And Ramsay's standing there going, nope, she did not drink the lemonade.
Which is like a
I
nod to today's modern language of she didn't drink the Kool-Aid we sent her. We
oh
sent her
my
a
gosh,
perfectly good Kool-Aid and she refused. Like, what? Why?
I didn't even put those that together. That's hilarious.
Queen Charlotte's just over here like, she did not drink my Kool-Aid. I called her the diamond. I called her sparkly. And here we are. What's going on? How rude.
And of course, Mama Bridgerton rushes back home to check up on Francesca, and Francesca's just there playing the composition, and it's like you can just tell she's falling for John, and you see it in, you know, Mama Bridgerton's face, like, ah, oh, okay, we got a match.
Yeah.
Things are good. We're good. It's fine. Who are you supporting?
Mainly because I feel it's poetic, but I'm really digging Violet Bridgerton with Lady Danbury's brother. And if you watch the prequel, Queen Charlotte's story, you would know Lady Danbury hooked up with Violet Bridgerton's dad. So for this to come full circle and a possible love scenario happen, yeah, I'm here for it. With all the supporting character storylines that we watched in season three, part one, who do you think next season's couple is going to be?
I really hope it's going to be Benedict and that they're going to introduce Sophie this
Yes.
season somewhere, somehow. I would like Eloise to have her story, but I don't think it's ready yet in the terms of the storyline for the show. But the way that they're focusing on Benedict right now, I have a strong feeling it's going to be him. Who's to say? But my gamble is on Benedict.
I'm hoping for Benedict. I really am. Because again, that's the only book I read. I have a theory as to why it could be Benedict, but I haven't seen the second half of part two. But his story begins at a ball. He meets Sophie in passing and she's wearing a mask. So if the last ball is a masquerade ball, there's a good chance we might get an Easter egg shot of Sophie, which I'm here for. That being said, we were technically introduced to Eloise's love interest in season two. And so he's already made an appearance. And with the subtle Easter egg nods to her dress or her costumes, she could be the next one too. So my money's on either Benedict or Eloise. I want it to be Benedict because I'm again, slightly biased here, slightly biased, hoping for Benedict at the end of the day.
Did Eloise's love interest, I guess you could say, because I Haven't seen the first two seasons in a while. Did he make an appearance in season three at
Not
all?
yet. Not yet. So there's
Okay.
still time. There's still time. We will happily report on that in part two. And last but not least, what are your top three favorite moments from season three, part one of Bridgerton?
I loved the moment when Queen Charlotte was reading Lady Whistledown's newsletter and Brimsley is standing behind her and is able to read it. That was such a cute moment because Queen Charlotte tells him, please take a step back. You are reading me too well. He goes, when you stand this far away, you learn a few things. But that little quip, I loved it. Another one of my favorite moments, that gorgeous scene of Penn walking down the stairs to the ball. Oh, and Gail's song plays. It
Yes.
was just perfect. And you can see her brother-in-law just looking up at her, like, yep, that's my sister. Like, darn right. I know.
Oh.
And she walks around the room and everyone notices her. And it's the same wig from before. They just styled it differently.
Okay.
That it looks different because of the color of her dress. But that was iconic. And I mentioned this one before, but another scene that I really, really liked was when Francesca is approached by John at the ball. And you can see how Francesca is sort of put off with the way that he left her
Yes.
on the street. And you can see the hurt in her face. And then John just looks at her and it clicks. And you can see the moment he understands why she feels that way about him. And he reaches out to her and says, I don't communicate with words as well as I do with actions. And he hands her the music composition. And her face just completely lights up. Oh, that was so sweet. It was so cute. I can't wait to see more of them. Right in the feels. And she was just so excited that she just got up and left. I'm like, oh my God, that's adorable. But what are yours? I'm curious.
Okay, we're on the same wavelength, but Penelope's glow up scene as she's walking down the stairs. Just new wardrobe, new hair and makeup, new pen, who dis type deal, right? I was living for it. And the way Colin just looked up at her, and I was like, yes, finally. Thank you. Kind sir, go get your woman, please. Absolutely loved Penelope calling out Colin on how he would never court Penn. And she did not hold back. I was like, that's right, give it to him. And enough for it to register and make, make him take a step back and be like, oh yeah, that was a jerk thing of me to do. I'm so sorry. So sorry in the history of sorry. Please forgive me. And I'm just glad that she stood up for herself in that regard. Kind of goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. But the carriage scene, if you know, you know. And if you don't, I don't know what rock you're living under. But again, we weren't expecting it. The pacing was so fast, and I was like, oh, wow, we're here. All right. And we've made it. Okay. But I think one of my absolute favorite scenes was Eloise trying to make friends and using comedy. She was like, oh, we're just going to stitch and shift into the next topic because I've got nothing to contribute to this conversation. I am not homemaker material. Her comedy stole the show in season three, part one, in my eyes.
And poor Claudia, she did this high kick on set, fell, and broke her wrist. And they had to come up with something because they had to continue filming. So that's why you see Claudia with these really light
Muffs.
wraps. Yes. But that's why she's wearing though that really light fabric and has her arms in front. It's because she literally broke her wrist. So every time she came on screen, that's all I could see. I was like, oh, yep, I know what happened. Like, we
Yes.
all know.
Do you have any honorable mentions?
I would like to give a shout out to the hair and makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Queen Charlotte's wig had that silver motorized swan in it. And apparently, the motor for the swan was located on her thigh because they tried to figure out a way where it wouldn't put a lot of weight on her. And it took 2 years for them to get it approved.
Oh, so it's probably like a safety issue.
Yeah, but it kept going back and forth between all the departments for the design of this wig.
Okay.
And it took 2 years for them to get it to sign off and work on it.
Wowie.
Unbelievable. I just absolutely stunning work that they're able to do.
Oh, yeah.
It's been with the costumes too and the set design. It looked like fantasy. Everything was
Did.
beautiful.
Yes, it was what, couture? I was like,
It
I want to
was.
see that go down the runway. My honorable mention. goes out to the Featherington family because I'm not pro villain. I'm really not. Let the record show, not pro villain. But I loved hating these women so much. They were exceptionally good at their job. So I don't know who I disliked the most. Philippa, I think, had the most comedy, but Prudence and Portia were quite possibly the most overbearing villainous family members towards Penelope. And I was truly impressed because I was like, oh yeah, no, they did their job. They did their job so well. I loved hating them. So cheers to the cast.
Yeah, they were very much giving me Drizella and Anastasia vibes for
Yes.
Cinderella. But also, they have the most charming husbands. Their husbands are such himbos. Like, they don't know, but they're doing their best.
Right. All right. Well, season three, part two is right around the corner, and we will be reporting on it. So stay tuned, folks. Can't wait to chat more about it. And now it is time for the spotlight of the week. Looking for a quick and honest review on an upcoming movie? Check out Parking Lot Reviews, where our lovely correspondent, Miss China, gives her a hot take on a variety of movies the moment she leaves the theater. Follow Parking Lot Reviews on TikTok and Instagram at Parking Lot Reviews. The Fangirls Podcast is brought to you by Believe Podcast Network, and we want to thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts for a new, fun fandom episode of the Fangirls Podcast.
We here at the Fangirls Podcast are not affiliated with the following: Netflix, Julia Quinn, Shondaland, and CVD Productions. We're just really big fans.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.